Welfare reform, benefits, who's entitled to them, how much they're entitled to, the big talking point of the week. Changes to benefits are coming here in different waves. This week, the Tory party announced tough new plans for the long-term unemployed. This will involve, among other things, forcing benefit claimants to do unpaid work like picking up litter or removing graffiti for no extra money. Last night on the Nolan TV show, I asked the DUP whether they would block these changes. Here's what Gregory Campbell said.
Anybody who is unemployed and who is able to work and can find work should be working. But that isn't the case at the moment.
You just ducked that question.
Well, I'm answering it in the way I want to answer it, Stephen.
Now, what, by ducking it?
No. But look, in some circumstances, anyone who's long-term unemployed will have to turn up every single day, and they will have to spend all day of every day signing and filling in application
right.
forms for jobs that don't exist. Then we won't support that. No.
That is the proposal. So why don't you just say in so many words we're against it?
Well, because, Eamon, because I was going to say you're wronger, given that you said... But there is a price tag to opposing and objecting and throwing out this legislation.
Well,
there's
a
price tag to it.
Now,
the question is going to be...
There's a price tag to blocking water charges in Northern Ireland, and your party does
absolutely.
That.
Because we're prepared to pay that.
Exactly.
Yes, but people have a decision to make.
Politics is about choices.
That's right.
What bit of this are you not listening to?
Do
you support some of your constituents being forced to pick rubbish off the street just because they're unemployed?
If those people are able to work and are choosing not to
work.
And
they're not paid for that work.
If we can get to the position where there is employment available, people are choosing not to take it and are staying on benefits, then we have to make sure that they see the picture is very clear. They have a choice to make. But we aren't at that position now. There aren't those jobs out there. So we've got to get the Prime Minister here next week, and he's coming next week, in order to create the employment so that people aren't put in the position that you're suggesting.
Sometimes I wonder why I've got white hair now, right? So here's the score. For those people who are unemployed, not working, not choosing to go and pick up rubbish, not choosing to wash graffiti off the walls, they are simply unemployed. And they might have worked all their lives, and now they're unemployed for the first time in their life through no fault of their own.
And
does your party support them being forced to pick up rubbish and get no pay for it?
If there are jobs available and they're choosing not to take them, then you have to look at what they can do.
So you do support it?
But if they're not, no, we don't. The key is whether there's jobs or whether there isn't.
And if there's no jobs?
Well, if there's no jobs, then that's why we're getting the Prime Minister here to try and make sure that there are.
So that's the DUP's position. Let's find out what Sinn Féin's position is on this. We'll talk about the bedroom tax, so-called bedroom tax, in a second or two as well. All that's in there too. Alex Maskey, Chair of the Social Development Committee. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
There's so much in this, isn't there? There's the more recent stuff, and let's talk about that first, that George Osborne has talked about just last weekend. This notion that for people who are unemployed, they'll have to sign up every single day of the week, turn up at the dole office every day of the week, and they will have to go out, pick up rubbish, clean up graffiti while they're on benefits. Will Sinn Féin support that or block it?
Well, I mean, it's just a load of nonsense, and all you're hearing from the Tories is one day after another cut or another headline to grab. So I, first of all, don't support it at all. I don't think any kind of person would support the idea that if someone's on it, just send them a pick up litter. I heard George Osborne or somebody like George Osborne generally saying that it was, he sent to make some pensioner a cup of tea. Where's the dignity for the pensioner who might have to have someone call around who they don't know from Adam? So it's all a load of nonsense, and I think you have to have a real discussion about job creation, helping people who are unemployed to get back to work.
So when you say, Alex, just to be clear, when you say this is nonsense, are you saying that Sinn Féin will use its mandate to block it?
Well, we'd not be supporting the idea that you just send someone out or you have them sitting 24 hours a day filling in forms. I mean, as I say,
but that's not the same thing, Alex. If you're saying it's nonsense, will you block it?
Well, I would say we certainly not support it. So, I mean, I don't want you to have another one of these roundabout discussions about block and kill the bill and all the rest of it.
Well,
what I'm saying to you now is that we will not support that type of a policy where you're saying to someone, you will sit in an office 12 hours. making you brain dead instead of helping you to get prepared to go to work.
Well, yeah.
And more importantly, for a government, the responsibility is to create work.
But of course,
so, you know,
yeah. The reason, Alex,
First of all, you have to have a proposition on the table before you deal with it. I'm saying to you very clearly, we will not be supporting any, setting people out to pick up litter or pick paint up a wall. There are people actually should be employed to do that work. So why don't you put people in the employment, give them a wage, and let them do these do this work, which is socially beneficial and important to society. So
okay, well that is clear.
I think it is clear from you,
to be fair to you. So you will block this. Can I ask you, because of course the stuff that we already knew about before last weekend, the so-called bedroom tax. Now the Tories hate that being talked about, as in described like that. It's the unoccupied tax or whatever it's called. I can't even remember what it's called now. But we know what they're saying. They're saying, look, if you're living in a house and there's three bedrooms and you're on your own, that there will be an extra charge for that house.
I've heard all that.
Or you'll have to be moved out. Where is that at the minute in terms of the Assembly and the Executive decision? Where is that process?
The Executive will have to consider when or if they put the reform back into the Assembly, and that's a matter for the ministers all collectively. And all the ministers will have to make their decision on that, and that means all the ministers of all the parties. So that's between the Executive, and they'll bring that back. But what I would say on behalf of the Social and Development Committee, the committee made it very clear unanimously of all of the issues that they are opposed to in this bill, which includes obviously this bedroom tax. And it's no wonder the Tories don't like it being referred to that, because they're a party which likes to say that they don't want to charge people too much tax, so they don't want to have this referred to a tax. But it is a tax, because it really is just a revenue raising thing on behalf of the government.
Well, so therefore, if you will also block that, then we've got this term in Northern Ireland. We sometimes hear the experts talk about, and all of these newsmen talking about, parity. And essentially what parity means is that, look, if we follow, we get a certain amount of money to pay for benefits here in Northern Ireland. And if we follow exactly the same as they're doing across the water, then that payment covers that. If we break away from that, if we break away from parity, break away from doing the same thing, then we get an extra bill in Northern Ireland. And that bill, that bill could go into many tens of millions of pounds. Which is why I've been asking you this morning what you are or are not going to block. Because, Alex, as you know, it could cost tens of millions of pounds. Now, where's that money coming from?
Let me deal with your core question, because you're right in saying that we do have this parity principle. In other words, that the benefit system's devolved to here. But really, you have to implement what comes from Westminster. All the parties here have made it very clear that they believe that this bill is really about cost-cutting from London. It will take a huge amount of money out of our local economy and take a huge amount of money out of quite a number of low-paid and low-income families. So what the dilemma that we're in as parties here, we have to represent the people that we represent and their best interests. So the conflict for us is that we want to make sure we look after the most vulnerable in the best way we can. But there is a price tag that you've heard David Cameron on this week, the British Secretary of State, Theresa Villiers, basically warning us that any departure, as you said, from London Westminster policy, then we'll have to pay for it. And that means that the dilemma for us, which means that it's not a simple headline grabbing statement, the dilemma for us is that we want to make sure we protect those who are most vulnerable that we represent here across the north.
So,
at the same time, the British government are saying any departure, you will pay for it.
Yeah,
and that means they will deduct money.
Yeah, but I understand.
Let me finish. No, because our dilemma is that we want to protect those most vulnerable, but that may well come at the cost of our black run. We have to weigh that up, so it's not an easy task.
No, I understand that, but you've had this dilemma for months.
Yeah.
So I guess the frustration and my question is, you've been looking at this for months and months and months.
Yeah.
So what is the decision? How far on are you in making a decision in this?
Is
it still a dilemma?
It is a dilemma. There's no doubt about that, because, and I think that the dilemma is further underlined when you get statements from George Osborne or Jim Cameron or or other government ministers from London basically saying, and here's another new idea we'll have which will cost more money or take more money off the most vulnerable people that you represent. So there is a dilemma, and there is a big conflict, okay, because we do have to weigh up how we are going to protect those who are most vulnerable, and at the same time, is that money going to come off a black grant? And that's why we have to negotiate with the other parties. That's why we have been seeking to negotiate with the British government. But we do have unique circumstances here. We have very difficult circumstances here. This is okay. Not south of London or anywhere else.
So is there any circumstance in which Sinn Féin will accept... It's actually the Tories prefer to call the so-called bedroom tax spare room subsidy. That's what the term is. Is there any circumstance in which Sinn Féin will accept that?
We said we're not going to support that, and that is one of the issues that we have drawn a line under.
Just starting to lose Alex there. That's a pity, but we've got the essence of what they're saying. So Sinn Féin have said they will block the so-called spare room subsidy. They said that they will not accept in any way this notion, the latest proposal from George Osborne, that people who are unemployed might have to go out, pick up rubbish, clean up graffiti to get their benefits. Sinn Féin will also block that. Huge costs associated by this, with this as well. Huge costs to Northern Ireland. Let's get your views today. 08459 555 678. We'll speak to Geoffrey Peel, Patrick Mulholland in a second or two. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts?
Stephen, I just think it's a little bit rich the way some of our local politicians coming on here telling us all we got to go and pick up waste paper and clear graffiti away, when they themselves, through their incompetence, their inability, just their sheer neglect, have cost us something like 10,000 jobs between the Mays Centre, the John Lewis Centre, the A25, the Narrow Water Bridge. I mean, there's about 10,000 jobs that these people have cost us because they can't work together. The only people I think who should be collecting waste paper is the politicians, because they're the ones that are getting paid for nothing. And seeing if I could just touch on the bedroom tax thing for a second. What happens if a young married couple, one child, has one room, one spare room, has to leave to go into a two-bedroom house, then has another child, he's now back to looking for a three-bedroom house again? You know, the population's getting bigger. Why not just build three bedroom houses?
Yeah, but you're blaming local politicians for this, and that's not their idea. These ideas are coming from across the water. What the local politicians have to do, and that's why this programme is focusing on this morning, for us all in this community, the local politicians have got to decide whether they are going to accept it or not. And to be fair to them, you know, Maskey used the term dilemma. They are in a dilemma. If they block it, there's a cost of tens of millions of pounds. If they accept it, then they're accepting these proposals that many of you find unpopular.
See, the people across the water didn't cost us 10,000 jobs. It's our local politicians cost us that. So you can't blame the politicians across the water for it.
Okay, on this whole issue of when people take benefits, what they should be expected to do in return. In other words, the Tories are going to make you, if they get their way, they're going to make you turn up at the benefit office every single day. If you've been made redundant or you're unemployed, as I say, pick up rubbish, clean up graffiti, or, you know, if you've got a mental health difficulty, if you're illiterate, they will force you to go on to courses. Geoffrey Peel, who we'll speak to in a moment or two on the programme, he was on the Nolan TV show last night, and, well, he caused a wee bit of a stir when he was talking about getting windows cleaned.
For goodness sake, we're talking here about 55 quid is the minimum amount of payment of job seekers allowance. How difficult is it to go and earn more than 55 quid a week? I've been waiting 6 months to
try to get a new...
So you're
saying it's not difficult?
How difficult is it?
You're saying it's not?
Can I answer? Can I make the point? I've been waiting 6 months to try to get a new window cleaner. It's impossible to get with somebody to clean your windows. Why is that? Because people are not willing to start their own businesses, to make their own employment, and to earn a decent wage and to get onto an employment ladder or a window cleaning ladder.
Right, well, Geoffrey's back with us this morning. Morning, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. I'm Patrick Mulholland from the Union NIPSA. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. The phones are going boogaloo this morning. We'll hear from you in a second or two. Geoffrey Peel, just expand on that. What were you trying to say, lad? Are you honestly trying to say that low-paid jobs are readily available?
I think the point I was trying to make, Stephen, is that job seekers' allowance is a relatively small amount of money. If you're a young person on JSA, you get paid 56, 57 quid. Now, there's a lot of young people who start their careers doing things that many people would consider humiliating. You know, Alex Maskey was talking there about how humiliating it would be for some people to go out and pick up litter. The proposal here is that people might go out and do something for their community, feed back to their community in return for getting that payment from the community, because it's us as taxpayers who provide those job seekers allowances. You know, I waited at tables when I was a student. I worked as a labourer when I was a student.
By
I
choice.
Did all of those things that I considered pretty humiliating at the time. But those are the things that are required of us in order to get into the labour market.
Well, Geoffrey, you'll understand why I'll say to you straight away that, you know, you're suggesting that picking up litter or waiting on tables or whatever is humiliating. You know, those are jobs which the people who are doing those jobs shouldn't be judged. And what's humiliating about being a bin man or indeed being a waiter or a waitress?
Absolutely. You're absolutely on the nail. There shouldn't be, of course. And that's why it's wrong for Alex to suggest that by asking people to give something back to their community in return for getting that job seekers allowance. There is nothing wrong with that. It gets them into the mindset of getting up in the morning, of getting into a routine, and also doing something for their fellow humanity.
Patrick Mulholland?
That's what this is all about.
Go on, Patrick.
It's about getting people to think that way.
I must say I am genuinely shocked to hear some of the views that are being expressed. What the Tories are proposing, and remember who we're talking about, this is a government that has failed. It has an economic policy that has failed. And what they are now proposing to do is scapegoat the unemployed. And their policy is designed to humiliate the unemployed. What people in this country need to be talking about is, how are we going to create real jobs? How are we going to boost the economy? How are we going to create a situation where people who want to work and are desperate to work have somewhere to go in the morning? And this rubbish about forcing people to go down and sit in a brew centre all day, it's outrageous. It's ridiculous.
Why?
What? Why? Because it is a waste of their time. It is designed to humiliate them, and it's designed to scapegoat them. Let me give you some brief statistics. There are over 60,000 unemployed people in Northern Ireland, and there's 5,000 jobs available. Now, there's the problem. It's not that people are lazy. There's no jobs. Oh, but 2 weeks ago, the civil service advertised 500 places, and it's excellent that they did. It's a great thing that there's 500 jobs in the civil service.
There are 500 on top of all the other ones we have.
15,000 people applied for those jobs. 15,000. That shows you the hunger there is in our communities for work. It's an absolute hunger. These people are living in desperate situations. They come from a position where they were good, hard-working men and women who worked in the building trade, who worked in factories like F.G. Wilson, who worked in local banks, not the big bankers, people who worked in the banks. They worked in shops,
okay,
and they were thrown onto the brew by the recession.
Go on,
and
Geoffrey.
Now they're to be
the point here is that to refer to the public sector is very ironic, because the reason why Northern Ireland, in the crisis that it's in, is the public sector swamps out the commercial sector in this economy. We have far, far too many people working for the public sector. They expect their superannuation. They expect their final salary pension. They expect to get a salary for life. And that is part of the problem.
Geoffrey, that's just
instead of trying to inculcate in our young people the idea that they should be creating wealth, that they should be creating employment, that they should be building their own companies, instead, we're giving them an expectation that it's the government's responsibility to provide them with a job. It isn't. It is the responsibility of the private sector to knuckle down and to create wealth in this economy. And NPSA is doing absolutely nothing to encourage that at all. All it's suggesting is that the government is responsible for providing jobs. It patently isn't. It's down to the people themselves to provide their own jobs.
Stephen, can I come back on that?
Of course
First
you can.
Of all, as to NPSA's role in trying to defend our economy, let me give you one example.
When have you ever employed anybody? When have you ever tried to create wealth?
The Department of Vehicle Licensing in Coleraine
should be shut down instantly, and the processes should be reverted to a central processing plant facility in GB. It's ridiculous that we have a devolved vehicle licensing authority.
Why can Tories not?
Scandalous waste of public money.
Why can Tories not let anybody else speak? That vehicle licensing authority that works very efficiently in Coleraine is about to be closed by the Tory government.
It's not by the Tory government, by the local assembly, by the local executive, and it's a good thing.
No, it's
a move in the right direction that we centralise processes.
That's outrageous. It's not the executive. It's the Tory central government that's about to close it. They are about to move those jobs across to England. That means 300 jobs go out of Northern Ireland public sector jobs. As do 200 private sector jobs that disappear because they are providing services. Now, the question is here, see those people who want to work, who want to work and are about to be forced onto the brew by the Tory government, are they then to be humiliated?
Are they the same government, of course, that provides all the subvention that's needed to provide all of the money that public sector... Remember, we only collect one-third of the amount of tax that we need to run this place. The fact is that most of the taxpayers in the southeast of England fund it. We are incapable of creating our own employment. We're dependent on the state. And that situation cannot last.
The party still applies. And we're still dealing with a party that doesn't give a damn about ordinary people. It doesn't give a damn about
a party that inherited
and
disgraceful amounts of public sector debt.
Well, you're talking about... Can I just remind people? Hold on one second. You're talking about the Tory party here. And look, yes, this is their proposal. But, you know, I'll remind people, the reason we are doing this here in Northern Ireland this morning on the Nolan Show is that the local parties have a decision to make.
Yeah.
And actually, they'll be able to be pinned in this. You'll be able to see what they stand for and the whites of their eyes when they decide whether to let this through or to block it and the reasons and the dilemmas associated with both. Now, Geoffrey Peel, very interesting point you made earlier on, which I want to pick up on, where you said, look, you know, that if people have to go out and they have to do some of these jobs, the likes of jobs we prefer to, picking up litter, cleaning graffiti, giving old people cups of tea, whatever, in return for their benefits, all right? That's what you said earlier, Geoffrey. Agreed? You see, your problem is that you could argue that these people who may have been working for the last 10, 20 years of their life, they don't need to give any gesture back for their benefits. They've been paying into the tax system. For possibly decades. So the point I would make to you is, what on earth is the point of going out and working, paying national insurance, which comes out of your wage slip every single week? Part of what national insurance is to cover the eventuality of you being unemployed. And then when you are unemployed, the government says, oh, hold on a minute, forget about the thousands that you've paid in the past, your NIC. Now you've got to feel like you've got to do extra work for the benefits that you've paid for all your life anyway.
I would say that it's highly unlikely, and I don't have the statistics, and very few people do, and anybody that does claim that they have them is probably a liar. But the likelihood is that the people that we're talking about here, people who have been unemployed for 2 to 3 years, long-term unemployed, are not the type of people who will have been paying into paying national insurance contributions
they
over
might
a long
be.
Period. But there's another
they
point
be.
To be made here as well. The government has made clear that part of this process is about identifying the need for retraining, about giving people the opportunity to look for appropriate employment. And as part of that, there might indeed be a skills gap. Nobody is too old, for example, to be reskilled. I recently, in my day job, one of the things that I do is run focus groups all over the world where I discuss for businesses.
Focus groups. BBC does focus groups too.
Yeah,
don't start me about
make
them.
This point, Stephen, this is important. I ran a focus group in San Francisco in the heart of Silicon Valley, and one of the people in my group was a guy 15 years of age who had taught himself in his bedroom to program semiconductors. He was probably a millionaire before he's even gone to university. He did that himself. He pulled himself up by the bootstraps. He taught himself, and he's creating business, and he's going to create a lot of wealth and a lot of employment. We're not seeing enough of that in Northern Ireland, and that's what we need, instead of all this rambling about benefits, because we have a benefits culture here.
You know, you want to be really, really careful, Geoffrey Peel, before you patronise people who are unemployed too much. And this stuff about pulling them up by their bootstraps, they don't have every opportunity. There are many barriers to decent people actually finding employment. Maybe they haven't had the best education through no fault of their own. Maybe they don't have the confidence. Maybe they don't have the situation to get themselves out of this economic downturn.
The proposals are all about giving them that confidence. There's lots of programs to allow people to understand how to create a business. And Invest Northern Ireland run many excellent programs for young people and more mature people to set up their own businesses. We need more business creation and less dependence on benefits.
Okay.
It's a zero-sum game.